In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. As we talked about last week, the festival that we find ourselves in today is a long one, with a Sunday before, and the feast itself, and then a Sunday after. And this doesn't happen much in the many feasts of the church that we have, but it shows you how important that the cross is in the life of the church. And last week we also talked a bit about the crosses we all bear, the things that we have to go through, the things that we have to do, the crosses we take upon ourselves that are forced upon us and that we put upon ourselves through our own actions, the things that we do, the things that we say, all the things that we do in our lives every day, which burden us unnecessarily. Well, the antidote to that, really, is the veneration of the cross and the making of the cross more in our lives, which we oftentimes fail to do. St. John Chrysostom, St. Gregory Palamas, many other saints talk about this. Even when I was reading yesterday, St. Nectarius of Aegina, all talk about the fact that the cross is so ingrained to every facet of our worship that we need to concentrate more on it. Every time we do this, and we do this when we come into the church, many, many times during the liturgy, should be many, many times at home, and most importantly, even many, many times in public places, which is where we usually cower and fade because we're afraid. We don't want people to think that somehow we're doing something strange, or that we might be Christians, or that that leads us into some sort of categorization that somebody else might have about people who make the sign of the cross, because St. Nectarius tells us we should do it boldly and at all times. Of course, in the early days of the church, it might have been even more noticeable because they made the sign of the cross on their foreheads. If you raise it up here and do this, I mean, that looks even stranger to a lot of people today, but it's still something that we should ingrain in ourselves, the practice of doing this at all times, in every places. When you're remembering somebody in prayer, when you're thinking about someone who has reposed, anything like that, keep it in mind. Never be afraid of the cross of Christ. Never be afraid of the cross of Christ, because it's the vehicle by which all of us are saved, the vehicle by which all of us are on the path to theosis. Again, we do it so many times ourselves, but it's done so many times liturgically as well. When the priest is getting ready to prepare the prosphora, the very first thing that he does is he holds it like this up in the air and says, "Blessed is our God, always, now, and ever, and unto ages of ages." And then he takes the little spear that he uses to cut the prospera, and he says, "In remembrance of our Lord and God and Savior, Jesus Christ." And he does that three times. And there are many other times during the liturgy where the cross is also made. We're inundated with it. We can't get away from it. In fact, as I've said many times, it's really no coincidence that one of the basic building blocks of everything that we do in society, any building that goes up, anything that is measured, is often with a cross. And that was intentional, the way the Lord wanted this to be when he first created the world. So the cross is something that is part and parcel of all of us. Even our very beings, we are in the shape of a cross. We really are. And so that has been implanted in us from the very beginning. And it's high time that we recognize it and that we don't flee from it, that we aren't fearful of it. Because the cross is also something that can save lives. It has saved lives many, many times. Some of the saints simply made the sign of the cross over someone and they were cured instantly. Demons flee at the sign of the cross. You might not think, in our day and age where so many things happen in movies and entertainment, all these kinds of things, that it's sort of dulls our mind to the reality of the power of the symbols that we use, because the symbols that we use are actually symbolic only in terms of the world, but to us they are very real. They are very real and powerful. I often tell people that are just coming into the church who are saying, well, there's so much symbolism in the church. And I say, but there's a lot of reality too, because every symbol that we have has a reality behind it. Sure, the bread and wine in the Eucharist is symbolic of the body and blood of Christ, but it is the body and blood of Christ. The sign of the cross reminds us of the cross that the Lord hung on, but making it makes us participants of it and casts away all evil that is in this world. All evil that is in this world. The Lord Himself, His sign is of the cross. Because he talks about how no sign shall be given to this generation except the sign of the Son of Man. What is the sign of the Son of Man? It is the cross. That's what's going to appear in the sky before he returns, as he tells us. The sign of the cross has also appeared many times in the history of the church in the sky. We have notable times in the history of the church where this is recorded. Constantine saw the cross. Constantine had the emblem put across the weaponry of the soldiers before he defeated Maxentius at the Battle of the Milvian Bridge. Eusebius of Caesarea even testifies to this. He says that, I saw these things with my own eyes. He says, this is true. I saw it. And it's happened many, many times since. My brothers and sisters, in this day and age, the Lord does not often speak to us in overwhelmingly powerful means like someone rising from the dead or something like that, because we are such a deadened society that we'd probably doubt it anyway. They even doubted it in the times of Jesus Christ walking the earth. Today it would be even worse. Instead, the small miracles and the great miracles are found in the smallest of our actions and the things that we do in life. The sign of the cross is one of them. Many miracles occur because of it. If you do it often, it will change your attitude. It can relieve depression. It can give you a sense of purpose in your life. It can awaken you from spiritual slumber. It can do so many things if we just participate on it. I know I seem to harp every week, someone told me actually, on the importance of our own contribution to the things that we do for our salvation. In other words, we need to wake up and participate and become Christ-like and to do the hard work that it takes in order to participate in the salvation that the Lord gives us. Many of the saints have said, you know, we venerate the cross and with our heads, in order with our confession, with our heart, from faith and love in God, and then with our hands, because we are to do the work of salvation, because it is work. Something is demanded. God did not create everyone as puppets. He's not that they're pulling the strings, making you do this, that, or the other. He has given you the greatest gift he could ever give anyone, which was freedom of will, freedom of determination, freedom of the ability to choose to be our own persons, to have that same type of autonomy that he has, that same sort of creativity that he has, that same sort of unrestrained love that he has for all of us, he gives to us. He gives all these things to us. And so he's not just manipulating us. But in return for this love, we have to take that which is given to us and do something with it. It's that simple. That is what being a Christian is all about. That's why we call it following Jesus Christ. It's not simply because we're saying that we're Christians or I read the Bible every day or something like that. But no, we're actively seeking to imitate him in our lives, to do those things which we need to do in order to make us more Christ-like. And as you become more Christ-like, that is salvation. That is the presence of God in your souls, in your physicality, in all of your actions that will bring you to the heavenly kingdom. That is so important for all of us. And in this day and age, it's tough. We have, even amongst Orthodox Christians, so many that are lukewarm. So many that are raised with the pearl of great price and they're tossing it over their shoulders and forgetting about it because they're succumbing to the temptations that we all find every day and all the things that the world is trying to tell us. The world, more probably at this point in time than at any other point in time, that's saying something, is working against Christ, is working against His teachings, is working against the very precious humanity that all of us possess because of the God-given image that He has impressed upon us. So make the sign of the cross boldly, absolutely. Proclaim your Christian faith. Know your faith. Understand your faith. So that when someone talks to you, you don't stand there like a deer in the headlights without any clue as to what to say to them. Because believe me, Orthodoxy has the answers for every question that comes at us from various people of all walks of life. But it doesn't do anybody any good if we don't know what those answers are. The Christian populace back in the 4th and 5th centuries, they were brilliant. They were so active. We hear this from so many things amongst the saints who talk about this, that what the conversations were about, that they knew how important the knowledge of God was. And they understood this, and they were aware of it. But today, particularly at times when we've got generations coming up through the schools in this country that understand nothing. They don't even understand their own history going 50 years back in this country, let alone the vast panoply of history that goes back 2,000 years. So learn the faith, practice the faith, love God, love your neighbor, let His radiance shine in you every single moment of your life, and the gates of heaven will open wide for you one day. But the corollary is, if you don't do these things, the Lord is going to see you and say, well, what are you doing here? You showed no interest in me or my teaching or anything while you were alive. Why do you think that's changed now? Now is the training ground. Now is the time when we prepare ourselves for the glories that are to come. God doesn't send anyone to hell just because He's mad at them or because they may have done a couple of bad things in their life or anything like that. Not at all. People end up there because they want to be there because they haven't pursued Christ. And then when the time comes when all there is Christ and His glory and His kingdom, these people are not going to want it because it'll be even more of what they're seeing even now here in this church. Take this church, magnify it by 100 million times in terms of the spirituality, the gifts offered, the gifts received, and you might even have just a fraction of what the kingdom of heaven is going to be like. And so if you don't like it here, you're not going to like it there. People in hell are going to be happier in hell, believe me, because they won't be able to tolerate the grace of God because it'll be something foreign to them. So be bold. Be courageous. Be attentive. We always say, let us attend in the church services. Be someone who can spread the faith, who can call other people to the faith by the quality of your Christ-like life, because that's what the Lord wishes for all of us. Amen.